The reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. It's on page 1181 of the Church Bibles. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more. I am amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God.
So, last week, Olwyn spoke to us about vision and our sense that God has called us here to be a church with an open door, reaching out, with helping one another live for Jesus. It's on the sheet again today if you're still struggling to get there. And Owen explained some of the ways in which we hope to bring this vision to life this year. And he particularly encouraged us to think about how we can serve and lead to help make it happen. And today's reflection, today's talk, is very much part two of two as we think about how we can support that vision financially. An American called Joel Barker said this in a business context, but I think it's so true for us today. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. I believe that if we catch a sense of what God has called us to be and do here, and we respond to it practically by giving our time, our gifts, and our money, then I believe that by God's grace, we can change the world. Do you believe that as well? Well, let's pray, and then we'll go further. Thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious, generous God who has given us so much. Help us, Lord, to hear you speak to us this morning and to understand more clearly what we can give back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So while what we think about and talk about today will be new to some of you here. Many of you, like me, will have sat through many Giving Sundays over the years. And it may therefore be a temptation for heads to drop, if not metaphorically, even literally. But I believe that the message today and our thinking together today is crucially important for all of us. The Bible, I discovered, has over 2,300 verses about money, wealth, and possessions. And even within the Gospels, something like 10% of the focus is on the subject of money. Well over a third of Jesus' parables were about money and possessions. So what might we conclude from that? Obviously, that it's a very important subject. But I think we also know that when we become Christians, we don't suddenly become completely obedient to God, fully tuned into what he's saying to us in every way. And there's a process that goes on in our lives over the years where we understand more of what God is calling us to and gradually become more responsive to it. And I think that's as true, if not more so, when it comes to all the possessions and the money that we have. Many of you will have heard this before, but the reformer Martin Luther said that there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the purse. Talking about money is a very down-to-earth challenge about a really important aspect of discipleship. I think it's therefore really important that we are still open today to God speaking to us in new ways. Our passage today comes at the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And as he writes, he's at that time in prison. But what comes through from reading the whole of the letter is a real sense of joy and confidence that, given his circumstances, can only be explained by his deep faith and confidence in Jesus. And he reminds the Philippians in that book that if they display the same humble attitude that Jesus displayed through his life, rather than being controlled by their own ambitions or their own desires in life, then they too can know something of that joy and peace that Paul himself has discovered. And as he moves towards the end of the letter here, he stops to take time to thank the Philippians for the gift that they sent to him. And it seems from what he says in this passage that they supported him financially in the past, and then circumstances for a while didn't make that possible. But more recently, they've had the opportunity to renew their concern for him in a very practical way. And the verse I want to particularly focus on today is verse 19 of chapter 4. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." A couple of Sundays ago, some of you may have been here and heard Kate Patterson share about how she sensed that God had been speaking to her recently. And she encouraged us with these words: "The Lord knows what you need, and he really cares and provides. The Lord knows what you need, and he really cares and provides. Now, that made me sit up, not just because it's a wonderful truth, but the very day before, I'd been reflecting on this passage and on this verse, this key verse here, about God meeting our needs. And I'm convinced that the extent to which we take this verse on board will have a huge impact on our approach to giving. It teaches us, I think, three fundamental things. Firstly, God meets our needs personally. Paul had experienced that in his own life, time and time again, that God met his needs. And because he'd experienced that for himself, he could have the same confidence that that could be true for the Christians to whom he was writing. God also meets our needs liberally. Paul talks in this verse about God meeting all the Philippians' needs. God doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't decide to respond to some needs and overlook others. He is a gracious and generous God. And God meets our needs gloriously. God has wonderful and inexhaustible resources, and he longs to make them available to you and to me. Do you really believe that verse? Do you believe that God is so gracious and generous that he will provide everything that you need, even before you even ask him? That's been our experience, I think, as a church down the years. Time and time again, year after year, God has wonderfully met our needs. And that's something that our treasurer, Mark Johnston, is going to pick up in a video that will be on the screen.
Hello everyone, I'm Mark Johnston and I'm the treasurer here at Holy Trinity. We haven't quite finished closing the books for 2017 yet, so the numbers aren't final, but I wanted to take the opportunity to share some extremely good news with you today. Many of you will recall that a few months ago our projections were showing a sizeable deficit for 2017, potentially of the order of £30,000. Well, your response to that situation was amazing. Following the appeal in October, we have received a large number of donations which have actually completely eliminated the deficit for 2017, and we're now going to be showing a surplus. We're so grateful for your generosity, and a huge thank you to everyone who gave during 2017. Now, looking forward into 2018, this year, we have assumed that the church will undertake the same level of activities and outreach as it did last year. Thank you. We've assumed that we can achieve a similar level of one-off giving as we saw in 2017. And finally, we have assumed that our regular or planned giving can increase by 5% from last year. This is challenging, but will give us enough income to cover our costs for the year and will allow the church to continue to have the same impact on the local community, the wider community, and overseas. As for what it means for you personally, it would be really helpful for us in planning and managing our resources if you could communicate your intentions through the giving forms that have been handed out today. If you are able to increase your individual giving or start giving for the first time, that will obviously be a great help in us reaching the 5% target and allow the church to continue doing the work it is doing. Thank you very much.
So Mark was explaining there that 2017 was another wonderful example of the generosity of so many people in our church fellowship that enabled ministry and mission to continue to grow and flourish here. That's a really living example of how vision and action come together. But this is 2018, and this is a new year. And at a time when society seems to have so much lost its way and doesn't respect or acknowledge that God exists, when generations of youngsters are growing up with no knowledge or awareness of God and his love, then it's so important that we press on with ministry and mission here, that the body is equipped to serve God, and that we reach out into our community and further afield with his love. And stating the obvious, that won't happen without money. But let's come back to our key verse this morning. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So what do I need? What do I think I need? Well, Paul earlier in this passage says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. There was a time when he wrote to Timothy in one of his other letters and said that godliness with contentment is great gain. One of the huge challenges of our modern and, I think, very materialistic society is that so often it doesn't operate in the way of the kingdom of God. And just to take an example with the world of advertising, which is, geared up to tell us that what we have isn't big enough or good enough or up-to-date enough, and that we can't possibly manage without this, that, or the other. It's there to breed discontent and encourage us to respond to it. And I think it's so easy for us, consciously and unconsciously, to be sucked in by that. And because of that, it makes it more difficult for us to release our resources, or what are really God's resources given to us, in ways that we could or we should. We're a society these days where we very routinely pop into the local coffee shop and pick up a drink on the go. And this has been sort of highlighted in the last few weeks when the Environmental Audit Committee has called on the government to levy a 25 pence charge on all takeaway drinks. Staggeringly, 2.5 billion cups are used a year, and the vast majority of them can't be recycled. It's a huge, huge issue that needs to be tackled. But it got me thinking. How would it be if just once a week, those of us who are in the habit of popping into that coffee shop to pick up a drink on the run, decided instead to get our act together and make one before we left home? Or we waited until we got where we were going and made one then? We might save a couple of pounds. If we did that every week of the year, that's £100. If 50 of us, say, decided we'd do that, that's £5,000. Just one example of just a tiny change in life, in lifestyle, that would release a huge resource for God's kingdom. And that's just one example, and I'm sure there are loads and loads of others. And it's not my business this morning to tell you what you need or how to spend your money. And I don't either want to undermine the fundamental truth that God is a hugely generous God. And so often, yes, materially, he blesses us. But nevertheless, I'd offer the challenge to you, to myself, as to whether we really do trust that God will meet our needs. And to challenge us about how we define need, how we see that for ourselves. And the leaflet that you were given when you came in this morning expands on what Mark said in the video a few moments ago. And it encourages us down the bottom left-hand side of the inside pages to consider this year giving regularly, realistically, and as a priority. They're good things to do. They're not just our idea of a good thing to do. They are principles of Scripture for us to follow. There's an encouragement in the leaflet also for all of us to respond. However much or however little we feel we can give to God, it's important for all of us. Whether we already give to our church here, whether we haven't yet started doing, it's important for all of us to consider. And the figures that Mark showed and that are also in the leaflet show that our annual budget is now beginning to edge up towards £500,000 a year. That's a considerable sum. Planning and managing that resource is a challenge, an important responsibility. So for our part, it's really helpful to those who are managing our resources to know how we're going to play our part in contributing to that this year. So what we're going to do as I draw towards a close now is to have an opportunity just to reflect quietly for a few moments and to consider what God may be calling us to do in response this year. I know that for some of us, being faced with a form to fill in is a bit scary, and we would like the time to take it home and reflect, and that's great. But I also recognise that there are perhaps a body of people who will take something home and then perhaps struggle to quite get round to ever doing anything about it. So we're just going to have a couple of moments this morning for those who feel able to respond now, for you to fill in the response form, and then we'll gather them together. If you haven't got one of these in front of you, wave a hand and somebody will get one to you. And if you need a pen, equally wave a hand and somebody will come in your direction.
In spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? To so faithful a friend, to so loving a King. Savior, what can be said? What can be sung? As a praise of your name, for the things you have done. Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? To so faithful a friend, to so loving a King. Savior, what can be said? What can be sung? As a praise of your name, for the things you have done. Jesus, what can I
If you have any questions this morning about finances to do with the church, then David Hewitt, our assistant treasurer, standing behind the sound desk, is here this morning. And also Colleen Keesing, who looks after planned giving and gift aid. And I will also be around at the end of the service if you want to chat at all. So let's pray together as we finish. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you know us. You know what we need, and you meet those needs. Lord, everything that we have comes from you. And today we give back to you what is really yours. In Jesus' name, amen.